Lent is a Christian festival which was grafted on, built on top of human activities that went on a long time before Christianity was developed. So, you know, I think that the habit of Lent, the practice of Lent, goes way, way back, right to the earliest communities of people. Now, I'm not a animalologist or whatever they're called, so I can't actually tell you in the studies of animal behavior whether there is any evidence that animals retreat from the world or give things up or, you know, I suppose hibernation is the closest thing in the animal kingdom to Lent. A period of time before you wake up, rejuvenated, respringed, and in effect ready for, you know, passion and resurrection. So, yeah, Lent, my Christian background, in the sense that I was brought up in a Roman Catholic community in southwest of Ireland, reminds me of ashes this day. Ashes, yes, people would be seen walking around the streets with large amounts of black ash on their forehead. I don't think it was anywhere else. I think it was just the forehead. And it would be fairly universal in the days that I grew up living in Limerick. It would be, I guess you stood out from the crowd if you weren't walking around with the mark of ashes on you. But this today is the beginning of Lent, and the subject of the audio boo is what would you give up for Lent? And I've got three things that I've been considering, you know, would be my things for giving up for Lent. They'd all be very hard, and I share them with you first. Number one, I could for Lent give up the habit of taking a cold shower and doing 100 press-ups every morning as my way of getting a good entry into the day. I've had this habit for as many years as I can remember now, but for a very long time, every day I take a cold shower, and it is fantastic. And it would be really hard to give it up. You know, if I had to substitute a hot shower for the cold shower, I think that would be a really tough thing. And, you know, Lent is a time for being tough. So maybe I'll... So that's one. The second thing I would really find hard to do is listening actively to other people. I have a developed habit, which I've had for a very long time, of quietly listening to somebody until I find it hard to remember exactly what they said, and then coming in and saying, well, look, as far as I can see, what you're saying is that, you know, you're angry and annoyed and really upset at me because what I did reminds you of your father and how your father used to treat your mother or something like that. So that practice of summarizing back to the person what I've heard them say is deeply ingrained into me. It would be very hard to stop and root out. And I'd have to say that 40 days without actively listening all the way would be a real toughie for me. The third one that I would find hard, and this won't surprise any of you, I'd imagine, is that I would find it really hard to stop talking. I thought about, you know, which of the two would be harder, to stop writing or to stop talking, and there's no doubt in my mind that talking would be harder. And of course, there's a long tradition of people going into hermit type existence or to the monastery or just think of the Tibetan monks. Now, they didn't do it for 30 days. They would do it measured in, you know, in lots of 3 years. So could I embrace silence? I've done it on the internet, in the sense that the ambient sound is the sound of driving under the River Lee in Cork. It's a major civil engineering project It's called the Jack Lynch Tunnel, and without it, you know, Cork would be artery-less. Okay, back to the issue of talk. Yeah, that would be really hard to, for me to stop talking. It would be a good challenge. You know, the one thing that holds me back is that it is a it is something that I might not succeed with. And I must tell you that yesterday I sent a direct message, the contents of which will be entirely and utterly between himself and myself, to Pilgrim Chris after listening to his Lenten audiobook. Now, as I was listening to Chris, I had the blinding realization that I had been involved in a Lenten-type activity since January. A wonderful, wonderful thing led by Jacqueline, she calls herself Jack, Carly, known on Twitter as Fitterella, known on social media as Fitterella, and known on, this activity is known on Google Plus as 12 in 12. You can find it. It's basically the idea, I may have spoken it about it in Abu before, but it's basically the idea is that you would give up, or not give up, but you would adopt a habit. You adopt a particular habit for a month. Now, as Chris so eloquently and convincingly says in his audio, Lent doesn't have to be about giving up. It could be about taking up. You know, you could embrace engaging with others. You know, if we're just talking about the online world, you could, it's entirely possible that somebody who is primarily a broadcaster could become, for Lent, they could actually become an engager. In fact, they could decide they'd broadcast nothing and would only respond to other people's tweets or other people's Facebook things, and they could, you know, practice the art of delivering overwhelming appreciation for others, for the Herculean efforts that others have made to overcome perhaps their own resistance to sharing. So yeah, I could go silent. It would be tough, you know, it really would. I would have somebody to guide me. I have to say that the sound of his voice and his whole demeanor and way of projecting himself, and especially his YouTube channel, marks Nick Holloway Vox out as a man at least as comfortable with silence as broadcasting. I want to pay homage to one of the greatest influences in my life. Rest in peace, David Heyburn. David Heyburn I met in 1987. Not to have a clue who he was, I signed up to do an interpersonal skills training course for trainers. You know, the aspect of David Heyburn I want to remember now and share with you is that he showed me how it's possible to be a presence. This is not a noise. This is not a, you know, but this is how a person can come into a room and they don't have to say anything. In fact, they don't even have to look at you. But David used to say to me, "How's your world?" And you know the feeling when somebody says to you, "How are you?" And it hits you as, hey, this is not a trivial question. This is an incredibly serious, and you feel it in the full searching gift that it has been, that it has been meant to you. And you are, you know, struck dumb because you don't know where to begin. And you know that the person would give you the time to listen. And it's not just past timing, and it's not just a ritualized conversation. It's not just you know, "Oh, hello, how are you, John? How are you doing, Joe? Oh, how are you, Jack? Yeah, how are you doing, Joe? Great, Jack. Fantastic. How's yourself, Joe? Fantastic, Joe. Jack, Joe, how, you know, and you know, this kind of conversation is very important to be able to do it. You know, it's humans are not designed to operate at the level of good morning. It is good, isn't it, Joe? Joe, is this a morning in your life? You know, we're not built to operate like that, you know. We have the agility and the tools and the ability to do it at times, you know. But our energy, unless you're really, really practiced at it, would quickly run out if we were faced with that kind of unusual challenge of intimacy. The challenge of intimacy gets easier and easier the more and more intimacy skills you practice. I think it is all about practice, but then this audio boo February month is all about practice. And I bet you I'm not the only person who has said to themselves, oh my God, this discipline, a daily discipline, is multi-dimensional. There's, you know, this is like layers and layers of lava being laid down. This is like a sedimentary formation. You know, this is about resurfacing the foundation on which I do my being. Now, forgive me. Back to cold showers. Yes. Where would I be without my cold shower? I'd be in the same position as those of you who go to the gym every day would be if somebody said to you, you can't go or I want you to give up the gym. You'd be bloody twitchy, wouldn't you? So what am I going to give up for Lent? Well, perhaps I'm going to give up being serious and become the Taoist within and become that kind of mixture of in which I don't even know clearly the boundary between being serious and not serious, and actually don't want to know that boundary. Perhaps I'm going to practice every day for a few moments living in the ambiguity of humour and authenticity. I wish you the best Lent you've ever had. And for those of you who don't have a deep, deep fund of religious spirit, I guarantee you that you only have to tap into your own spirit and you'll find that you have a huge human spirit. Bye-bye.